Good morning, everyone, and welcome all of you to the Family Bible Hour. Few weeks ago, when we were doing a family devotion at my home, we were reading the book of Ruth, and it prompted me to study this portion, and I believe that this will be a blessing for you as it was for me. With the title, The Power of Decision or Power of Choice, I once read this quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of American President Franklin D. Roosevelt. She said like this, and I quote, "One's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choice we make. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choice we make are ultimately our responsibility." When we see the book of Ruth, we can see there is no author that is mentioned in the book of Ruth. Jewish tradition says that it was probably the prophet Samuel who might have written this book. It's a beautiful short story of just 85 verses. And the final word of the book links it with David, the grandson, the great-grandson of Ruth. So we know that it was written after his anointing. If you are like one of my friends who doubted why we should be reading Old Testament, I want to remind you that there's a value in reading Old Testament by pointing to you two verses from the Bible. First is 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17, it says like this. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So we see here, all scripture is given to us for correction. That means it is not just the 27 New Testament books, but the whole 66 books of the Bible. Again, Romans chapter 15 verse 4, it says like this, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." So, the reading of the scriptures gives us hope, and all those things which is written was for our own learning. So when we read this book of Ruth, it's a very encouraging book, an encouraging story. It's a story for people who wonder where God is when He is silent. We see in this book, there is no mention of prophets, no visions, no dreams. So it's a story for people who wonder where God is when tragedy after tragedy hit in their life. So, I pray that this book might be an encouragement and you will go back home and read this book. Let us just read verses 1 to 5 of chapter number 1. Ruth chapter 1 verses 1 to 5. "Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's wife, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Moab and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. So our story begins with the word, "Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled." So it is telling us that this story took place around when the people of Israel entered the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, and there was a period of 400 years wherein judges were ruling before they had kings. And if you want to know how was the situation when the judges ruled, you should read the verse just before this. That is Judges last chapter, last verse says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So we see here the days of judges were a very troubling time in the nation of Israel. Everybody was doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. When Moses commanded the people of Israel to settle in the land, their promised land, he said that he commanded the people to do what is right in the sight of God, as there in Exodus chapter 15 verse 26. But after the death of Moses and then Joshua, people slowly went astray from God's presence, and idolatry and moral confusion was rampant in the land of Israel. And without a king, they were doing as they pleased. Now this is very familiar or similar to today's philosophy. Today's philosophy, we see, do what is right, what you think is right. There's a popular song like that, I did it my way. That is a popular song that we see. So we see the same moral subjectivism, which was a problem for the land of Israel, was leading the nation into trouble. We see the same thing, same attitude in today's society. In today's study, I want to point five things that we can learn in the decisions that we see in this book of Ruth. In fact, scholars say that this book of Ruth can also be called a book of decisions, because we see many people taking decisions. First thing that we learn about decisions is, decisions are inevitable. You cannot escape it. It is an important aspect of our lives. Somebody stated like this, we are a product of our choice or decisions. We are a product of our choice. So life is made of many decisions, and it determines the course of our life, where we are heading. In fact, God has created us with the ability to take decisions. In James chapter 1 verse 8, we see a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means God wants us to take decisions. He has not created us robots, and he wants us to be stable in our decisions. We can also decide that I don't want to decide anything. In fact, indecision itself is a decision. Not to decide is to decide not to. For example, if I take a ticket to Vancouver and my plane is going to depart tonight, and if I have not decided whether I should go or not, and I go past the departure time, the plane will go without me. That means if the decisions are made with whether we make it or not. So time decides if you are not deciding. Time always decides against you. So decisions are inevitable for man. So here we see in first five verses, we meet a family. We see there is a famine, and we see a decision. There is a famine in Bethlehem, and we see because of this famine, a man called Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons Mahlon and Chilion decide to leave Bethlehem and to go to the land of Moab. Before we go into the aspect of their decision, let me remind you, in the days of Bible, name had significance in their life. That means it was a reflection of the personality of that person. We see Elimelech, then the name means my God is king. Probably their parents might have put the name Elimelech thinking this boy, when he grows up, he is going to state to the world that my God is king. But as the story unfolds, we see Elimelech does not live up to his name. He does not act like God is his king, but rather he lives as if there is no king, and or probably he is a king over his own life. Next person, Naomi. Naomi means blessed.
And we see it may be like a cruel joke to when we say her name Naomi, when we go through the text of this chapter, that how the things unfolds in her life and the circumstances of her life. Her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sickly or weak, and Chilion means tired or dying. We see her two sons were sick and tired and dying. And we see a family and who are living in Bethlehem. Interestingly, Bethlehem means the house of bread. So a family takes a decision that they are going to leave Bethlehem, which should be a house of bread because there is a famine, and go to a land of Moab to have some food. So we see decisions are inevitable. We have to take decisions in our life, and we are in fact a product of our decisions, many decisions that we take. Second thing we see from this text is that decisions should not conflict God's revealed will that He has shown to us. Decisions should not conflict with God's revealed will. Here we see a family taking a decision to go to the land of Moab. At the outset, we might see, what is wrong with that? We are supposed to feed our family. There is no food in Bethlehem, and there is food in Moab. Why not? Why not we go to Moab? But and even in the New Testament says, 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Oh, then surely he should be right in that decision. But in God's viewpoint, it was a wrong decision because it is going against the revealed will of God. For us, the revealed will of God is the written God's word. Elimelech and Naomi should have known that it is God who controls famine. In fact, when we turn to Leviticus chapter 26 verse 3 and 4, Leviticus chapter 26 verse 3 and 4 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, and the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruits. So we see, if you obey God's commandment, God is going to give you rain and abundance of food. But on the there is a flip side. If you disobey, the rain will be withheld and there will be famine. And we see God sends famine, uses famine to teach nations and people that they have to depend on God. And we see here, because of famine, instead of trusting on God, Elimelech and Naomi decide to handle the situation on their own, and they chose economic prosperity over spiritual protection. Does anyone remember a similar story in the Bible? Probably you might have thought of Lot. He saw a green pasture in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what happened to Lot because of his choice. Second reason it was against the revealed will of God is that we see when they moved to Moab, Moab was a heathen nation. They worship idols and other gods which were forbidden in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 23 verse 3, there's a specific verse says, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. So we see there was a specific commandment of the Lord that God had forbidden his people from associating with the people of Moab because they worship false god. And when the Israelites lived or settled near their places, it was very evident, or they will slowly becoming like them, and they will start worshiping false god. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, it says, do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? This verse is specifically for when we choose a life partner in your life. So we see there is a specific verses which shows revealed will of God. We should not take a decision which is against God's written will. Third thing that we can see in this portion is that decisions has consequences. Every decision that we take has a consequence in our life. When we see the verb that is used for their move from Bethlehem to Moab, we can see a few interesting aspects. See in verse 1 how it says, A certain man of Bethlehem went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Sojourn is not a common English word, so I googled what do you mean by sojourn. It says stay temporarily. So they decided we will go temporarily to Moab and come back. So we see in verse 2, it says, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. They wanted to settle temporarily, but now we see they continued there. Come again in verse number 4, and they dwelt there about 10 years. We see slowly their decisions has a consequence. They thought they will stay there for temporarily, but they eventually settled there and dwelt there. In Psalms 1 verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see here, slowly a degradation is happening. And blessing is only for those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. In this context, you should all, I wanted to read Revelation chapter 2 verse 13. We see about the church, message to the church, how the church accepts false doctrine. And finally, when we read in Revelation chapter 2 verse 13, we says, you are sitting in the seat of Satan. We see slowly your decisions have consequences, and it will have an effect on ourselves and our family, on our church. Finally, we see as the story progresses that in the early days, everything was smooth, but tragedy strikes. Elimelech, the father, he dies, and Naomi was left with his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They go and marry two Moabite girls, Orpha and Ruth. This might have delighted Naomi because her sons are get married, but they did something which was directly contrary to the word of God. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 3, we read, nor shall ye make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughters for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. We see as the story progresses, both their sons also die, and we see three widows right now at this junction. So this is such a sad reminder of what happens when we take a decision which seems right to us, but it may be against what God has commanded. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6, a very famous verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So in all our problems, let us remember that we have to take a decision. When we take a decision, there is a consequence for our decision. Another aspect that we can understand here is that any major decisions that we take in our life includes all the minor decisions that we have to take in the progress. Example, I decide to go for a road trip to Calgary today. So my major decision to go to Calgary has included all my minor decisions that I have to take on all crossroads till I reach Calgary. So my major decision has already included all my minor decisions in my life. So let us be very careful in taking decisions which honors our God, and remember, every decision has a consequence. Fourth aspect of a decision that we learn from this aspect in this portion is that decision should be faith-based. We see Elimelech did not base the decision to move to Moab based on faith. Now, what do you mean by taking a decision on faith? It is not jumping into darkness, but rather jumping in remembering who is there in that darkness. In a simple definition of faith is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Further, Paul says in Romans chapter 14 verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So every decision in our life should be faith based, because it says whatsoever which is not of faith is sin. When Abraham was called to go from the Ur of Chaldeans to a land that God will show. Abraham did not know where he is going, but he obeyed God's word. God has commanded it. That's why he left to a land he did not know. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, it says like this: by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So, what do you think was the anchor or the confidence of Abraham when he took that decision? He trusted God and his word. That's why he left his place and he went to a place which God had commanded. But we see Elimelech could not put his trust in God before his decision. An interesting aspect that you can learn from verses 1 to 5 is that there is no mention of the word Lord in verses 1 to 5. But from verses 6 onwards, we can see 17 times the word Lord is mentioned when they realize their mistake. In their decision to move to Moab, the Lord was not present. The Lord was not considered. Let us, in our life, when we make decisions, let us consult our God by praying, by asking Him for His guidance, and the Lord is surely going to bless us. When we take a decision, when we disobey God's written word, it will be never for our prosperity. Psalms 119 verse 4 says, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Psalmist is saying, the Lord has given us the word of God that we should obey it diligently. So, let us in the coming days seek to understand what is God's will in our life and perform God's will. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 17 says, And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. So, let us do the will of God. Let us seek to understand what is God's will in our life. Let us seek to do it, perform it in our life. And let us seek the Lord's preeminence in our decisions in our life. And when we take that decision, it will be a right decision. Till now, we saw the wrong decisions that Elimelech took. And because of that, so many problems they had in their life. Now, we can see a good decision by Naomi. A decision to go back to God. When they realized their mistake, they took a decision to go back to God. Now, let us read verses 6 onwards. When we read verse 6 onwards, pay attention to the word, how many times the word Lord is mentioned in that chapter. Pay attention how many times the verb to return is mentioned after verse 6 in this chapter. Verse 6 says, Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-law with her. And they went to the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughter, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should have, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would he tarry for them till they grow? Would he stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake, that the Lord, hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Wherefore thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then called me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth and Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. So we see this chapter began with a famine, and now it ends with a positive note. A harvest, a barley harvest is there. Naomi lost her husband, her two sons, but Ruth and Orpha remained in verse 6. And we see Naomi decides now to go back to Bethlehem. So, if you have seen, there are almost 12 times the verb to return is mentioned after verse 6. Return is an about turn. When you realize, when you are in the lowest ebb of your life, when you realize your mistakes, then the only option is you should return, have an about turn in our life. Let us decide when we go wrong in our life, let us have an about turn and decide to go back to God. The scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us was like a sheep which went astray, and we have committed sins, and our sins can be forgiven only when we trust in the finished work of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And He died and on the cross for our sins, and He rose up on the third day. And when we put our confess our sins, and when we pledge our allegiance to our Lord, then, and when we return to God, then only our Lord will bless us. Here we see Naomi's life. She, when she realized her mistake, there was a change of heart in her life, and she decided that she has to go back to Bethlehem, a land of blessing. Naomi, who lost everything in chapter number 1, when she decides to come back to God, we see her life is changed. She got a good daughter-in-law. In Ruth chapter 4 verse 15, it says, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who is better than 7 sons. She lost her son, but we come back to chapter number 4, it's saying Ruth was better than 7 sons. When we decide to return to the Lord will give you a new chapter in your life, a new beginning in our life. Here we see her return was based on repentance. Naomi acknowledges that she had went wrong and she has lost everything. Ruth chapter 1 verse 21 we read, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. She realized her mistake, she repented, and she had an about turn in her life, and she turned to God. And we see when we confess our sins, our failures, the Lord has promised us that He will give you a new beginning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. However dark your life may be, however deep your sins may be, God has given you an option that you can confess your sin and put your trust in the Lord, and He has promised you a new beginning. He has promised you that He will make your life a blessing. Here we see Elimelech's decision to go to Moab. He lost everything in his life, but Naomi's good decision led her from losses to great blessing in her life. There was a walk in her life from emptiness to blessing. Similarly, Ruth, when she left her homeland and she decided that she will exercise her faith in the God of Israel, we see Ruth was also blessed. When in the Ruth, whenever she is described Ruth as a Ruth the Moabite, she is frequently named that in this book. When we see, when she put her trust in the God of Israel, what happens to her? She was blessed. And she was, we see she was an ancestor to David the king, and further she was the ancestor to Jesus Christ. In the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, we see five women is mentioned in that genealogy, and Ruth was one of them. And we see she was never again mentioned as Ruth the Moabitess, but rather she was mentioned Ruth the wife of Boaz. Similarly, Paul is saying to us that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and of the household of God. When we put our trust in the Lord, we are no longer foreigners or strangers, but we are the same household of God, and we are the fellow citizen with the saints. What a great privilege he has given to all those who have decided to come to him. So we saw in this chapter five things about decision. Decisions are inevitable. Every one of us has to decide in our life something or the other. And we see decisions that we take should not conflict God's revealed will, God's written word of God. And every decision that we take has a consequence and that we have to bear. Every decision should be faith-based. That means we should put our trust in the Lord, and we should know who is there in the dark. That is our Lord. And every decision, we saw a good decision in the life of Naomi when she put her faith in God and she decided to have an about turn, and she turned towards God. And because of her good decision, she was blessed, her daughter-in-law was blessed, and we see a great lesson that is there in store for us. May this message help us to take a good decision in our life. May his name be glorified.